احساب کتابانی بیشتر از آقای بسیار مکیبوی ماشید کنگار رو هر دید and the rest of it is all halakha l'maisa that the observance of Yom Kippur that we have today. So the Mishnah says that there were chamisha inuim, there are five prohibitions on Yom Kippur. Achila shtia counts as one. It's considered one isa, not to eat and not to drink. Then you have sicha, you have chasando, chasando, chamisa. Mishnah says that one who violates an aver, Mishnah Tei Aleph and Aleph says that one who violates an aver of the shaydig, which if he would have done it in Nezik, would have been chayv karei. So if the person violates the shaydig, he has to bring a carbon chatur. So the Mishnah says that even though all of the chamisha inuim, the Mishnah the parak begins with the chamisha inuim. Yom Kippur must have achilu the shtiya counts as one. Yafit betucha. Here's the time of Tashmish Shamita are the five. Even though all five are forbidden, there's only Torah and Achilo Shtir. So this leads the Rabbi Natam to believe that all of the other Einuim are wrong in the Rabbon. How can you take one pasuk, the Anuas Nashisechem, and you split it and you say one of the Einuim has Torah, Kol HaNefesh Shalosun, and the Nichrisa, is Torah for violation of Einuim, and Achilo Shtir, not in the others? How can it be? So the Rabbein Atam understands that it must be all of the other Inuim are wrong in the Rabban. The Rambam seems not to agree with the Rabbein Atam. The Rambam seems to hold the theory that all the Chamisha Inuim are Rasam and Atar. I haken have some have Kars, some don't have Kars. This is Akasha, the Gemara in the Dorim of all places. One, the end of the Dorim talks about which Nidorim can the husband be Mefer, only Nidre, Inu, Nefesh, or Dvam Shebin Olabeinot. The Gemara relates a little bit the topic of Inu Nefesh by Nidorim that the husband has the right to be Mefer to the topic of Nefesh HaShalosu Una. So the Gemara darshins from a pasuk that Koris is only for Achilu Shtiyah. There's no Koris on the others. On the Chitza, Sicha, Mirzusam, the Sashalita, the other four, there's not going to be any Koris. So the Rabbeinu Tam learns that the whole thing is an Asmachta. Because Menatar, the only thing that's included in Inu is Achilu Shtiyah. The rest is only the Rabban. The Rambam holds no that it's a real grosh ignore their raisa. If the other ignore my their raisa, and there's no courage. The owner is only tashmish, yeah. 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 The Rishani quotes the Ran on the Rif on the first Mishnah and the last Perek quotes this Machlekes and the Tosfos. Rishani quotes the Machlekes. This Machlekes of Rishani, whether the other Inuim are there, right to the Rabban. The Mishnah has certain Heterim, that there are certain people. Yeah. It says who is allowed to eat, so it's only if there's a Safek Sakana. Anything less than a Safek Sakana, you're not permitted to eat, because it's an Issa there, right? And the only Heter is Safek Sakana. Who is allowed to wear shoes? Who is allowed to wash their face? But you have more hetev. So how come you have hamelach v'hakala yirchat v'yad p'neihim? The first Mishnah says, not allowed to eat, but the melach is allowed to wash his face, because the pasuk says, Rashi quotes the pasuk, it is shaitin one pasuk. Melach v'yofi yosech hazenu inecha. The melach always has to look good. And the kala who just got married, so she also has to look good. First 30 days. It says this man is there that they daven in shul all day long. The husband doesn't see the girl. They just got married. They don't see each other. So then the heter doesn't apply. But this man atanayim, they didn't spend the whole day in shul. So he's going to see his kala. He's not going to wash her face. He may she may lose a little chay. So the tanayim permits the kala to wash her face. So there's no suffix takana over here. Not for the melech and hachayatin ala sasandal. A woman had a baby. She's allowed to wear shoes. What there's no chashash takana at all, so why are you permitted? Right, that's what the Rishonim taina. If it's really an issa deraisa, how can there be nekel over here? How can you be nekel? So the Tosfos Rishonim gives a famous suggestion. He says, Hamelach v'hakala yirchat v'etzinim, we only permit them to wash their face, we don't permit them to take a whole shower. So the Tosfos Rishonim on the first Mishnah suggests maybe the issa deraisa. If one should assume that indeed it is an Issa Deraisa, maybe the Issa Deraisa only violated if you do a Chitzus Kol Agur, if you take a whole bath or a whole shower. But if you're only washing your face, maybe that's only Midirabbanan. Maybe that's only the Rabbanan.
Sicha is not the Kalaguf. Sicha also the Kalaguf?
No. Sicha, even Sicha Tishtiya. Gemara says Sicha is Tishtiya. It's a different Issa. Sicha is not that it's another form of Rechitza. Sicha is an aspect of Shtiya, because the oil, if you smear with oil, so the oil gets absorbed into the pores. But since it gets absorbed, it's a little bit like Shtiya. But Rabbi Natam holds that the whole Sicha Tishtiya is only the Rabbanan. Even Sassandol, it says Vachai Tinala Sassandol, it says one shoe. So the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam, you know, the Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. So a contemporary of Yosef Karo, who also lived in Tzfat, was the Mabit. He was a Baplukse. They had Machlokes in a definition. So the Mabit also wrote a Sefer on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah. That's the standard commentary that's printed on the side of the Rambam. And he always gives you all the regular sources. This is a Pasuk, this is a Mishnah, this is a Gemara, this is a Tosefta, this is a Tshuva Tagoyim, and he tells you where all the sources of the Rambam are. And then the other one, the Mabit, wrote a Sefer on the Rambam that's called Kiryas Sefer. He gives very exotic sources. Instead of getting normal, down-to-earth sources, he starts developing new ideas. That's why he didn't win, and his Sefer was not printed on the side of the Rambam. Because it wasn't so accepted. So he makes this suggestion. He says, to parenthesis the Rambam, maybe the Rambam holds that to wear two shoes, that's the need of the right, to wear one shoe is only the Rabbanan. Chayat Tinala Sassandol maybe goes on one shoe.
That's even worse than all shoes.
Huh?
That's worse than all shoes.
Yeah, I don't know. The Rechitzas upon him, that's the sheet, that's the Tosfos Yesharim has like that. Right. Maybe Rechitzas Kol Aguf is the Issa de Reis, and Rechitzas Mitzvah Aguf is an Issa de Rabbanan. They point out Rav Zhulti has a Shtigl Torah on this. Rav Zhulti used to be the Rav in Yerushalayim. He died, I think, 20, 30 years ago. Not so long ago. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, 30 years ago, I heard him give a shiur. He couldn't think that.
Yeah,
20 years ago. No. 20, okay. 15. Thanks, Shannon. He has a suggestion in one of his Torahim. He points out that Rambam writes an interesting lashon that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Rambam writes that Rechitza is also Echad Rechitza's Kol Aguf, Echad Rechitza's Ever Echad Min Aguf. It's forbidden to bathe, whether to take a full shower or to wash any organ of the body. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. It just says Rechitza is also Afilo Lahoshet Etz Baktana L'Techanai. Even to stick your pinky in cold water where you don't get any Hanoa is also awesome. So what did the Rambam write? Echad Rechitza's Kol Aguf, Echad Rechitza's Ever Echad. What is he driving at over here? Or he writes, the Rambam writes also, you're not allowed to wear shoes, whether you're going to wear both shoes or one shoe. What is he driving at? I don't know, but why does he have to mention the two shoes? You're not allowed to wear, say, you're not allowed to wear, so in Shulchan Aruch, it just says, you're not even allowed to wear one shoe, even just to put one shoe. And it says, you're not allowed to wash even one shoe. What did the Rambam write, Echad Rechitza's Kol Aguf? So he suggests this is the Rambam Rishitas and the Shulchan Aruch Rishitas. Because the Rambam thinks that all the Chamishi Noim are Nisa Deraisa. He wants you to know that it's only Deraisa if he says Kol Aguf, and it's only Deraisa if he wears both shoes. So he says, Echad Rechitza's Kol Aguf, Echad Rechitza's Ever Echad, but they're not on the same level. Rechitza's Ever Echad is only prohibited in the Rabbanan, and therefore there's room to negotiate. Therefore there's room to be Mekal, Hanalach Vahakal, Yechad to Esaneim. Or, to wear both shoes, that'll constitute an Issa Deraisa, that we're not going to be Mekal, unless there's a suffix Sakana. But to wear one shoe, the Rambam writes, it's prohibited, whether to wear two shoes, or to wear one shoe, it means, that's prohibited in the Natar, that's prohibited in the Rabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch hasn't accepted this, because the Rambam Shulchan Aruch has followed the view of Tosfos, that the only thing that's Deraisa is Achilas Shtiya. Everything else is only with the Rabbanan. So, from the perspective of Rabbi Yosef Karo, when he writes the Shulchan Aruch, there's no need to write. It's forbidden whether to take a shower or to wash any one finger, or to wash one organ of the body. It's exactly the same thing. Rechitza's Ever Echad is all the Rabbanan anyway. It doesn't make it any worse if you wash Rechitza's Kol Aguf. Here the Achronim ask Akasha, the Or Gadol, the Minsk Gadol has a running commentary on the Mishnayos. Every so often they quote a very sharp Goyim. So he was a right before the war, right before the Second World War, he was one of the Gedolim in Europe. Ramosha has writes a little bit with him. So the Minsk Gadol has on Mishnayos is Kasha, how can it be If Rechitzis Kol HaGuf is an Issa Deraisa, how can it be Rechitzis Mikvus Min HaGuf? Will only be an Issa de Rabbana, shouldn't it be Chatzis Shir Asa Min Aser? If the Zid is Rechitzis Kol HaGuf, is Deraisa, so Mikvus Min HaGuf should be a Chatzis Shir, should be Asa Min Rabbana, should be Asa Min Aser. So the Pashto says that's like a Chatzis Malacha. Yeah, that's what the Velt says. The Gemara says that to carry Dalan Amis B'Shusa Rabim constitutes an Issa Deraisa. But to carry two Amis and to put it down is Heter Gomer. It's not even Asim Ad Rabbanan. If you carry Pachas Pachas through Dalan Amis, that's Asim Rabbanan. I pick something up, I carry it three Amis and I put it down, that's Musa. Then I pick it up and I carry another three Amis. I put it down there. So Zaha Kol, I carry six Amis, but with a dreidel, with a kunst, by making a Anoch in the middle. So that's Asim Ad Rabbanan. If you carry Pachas Pachas in Dalan Amis, to make a Hanoch in the middle, but the end result was that it landed more than Dalaramis away from where it started, that's Asim Rabban. But the carry Pachas and Dalaramis is even with them at the Rabbanon. So the Meiri in the beginning of Shabbos and Daf Gimel asks that Kasha, let it be Chatzis Shir Asim and Atar. So he says, no, that's not a Chatzis Shir. That's a Chatzis Malacha. That's the Tzuras HaMalacha is to carry Dalaramis. You carry less than Dalaramis, there's no use of it at all. It's the different types of shiurim. Sometimes the shiur is just, you need more kamus. You need more yit chazah. Less than a kazayit of chazah is also chazah, it's also trade. But the halacha says you have to eat more. In order to get malchus, you have to eat more. We learned the Mishnah. Reb Shimon disagrees. Shimon holds kol shehu l'malchus. He says you get malchus even if you eat less than a kazayit. And we don't pass them like that. We say, no, you have to eat a little more. But there it makes sense to say, Chatzis Shir is Asim Atar. Sof, he's swallowing the food. And eating Macholos Asim. He's getting a Shtikal Hanor. Didn't get the full Hanor of the Kazayis work.
Somebody
but,
is asking about Akira without
Hanor,
could be a
Chatzis Shir. Right? Also not. Akira without Hanor is also not. It's a Chatzis Malacha. Or even if you do Akira Hanor, but you only carry two Amis. You didn't carry four Amis. So that's also.
That's part of the Torah.
Because it may lead, right, because it may lead to do the full Malach. Yeah, that's Akira, that's from Rishus HaYochi going into Rishus HaRabin. One is going to do the Akira and he knows that someone else is going to do the Hanoch. So the full Malach will be done, but by two different people.
Yeah.
So that's awesome the Rabban, because he may do the whole thing by himself. Right. That's awesome the Rabban. So on Yom Kippur, the original Machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, where the Chatzis Shir is Asman Atar Asman Rabbanon, is quoted here regarding Yom Kippur, regarding eating on Yom Kippur. So that's Taka Akasha. That's Taka Akasha that the Chassam Seif or others talk about. It doesn't make sense to say Chatzis Shir Asman Atar by Yom Kippur, because the Easter is not really an Easter Achila, it's an Easter Ravinu. It's called Nefesh Shalosh Seuna. Normally, the shir for achila, if you have anything that's straight, so normally the shir for achila is kazayis, and the shir for shtiyas mashkin is revealed. And on Yom Kippur, everything is different. The shir for achila is kosevis hagasa, a larger date, which is larger than a kazayis, and the shir for shtiyas is smaller than a revealis. How much mashki can hold in one cheek? In one cheek, so it depends, each person is going to have a different shir. Kosevis Agasa is the same shir for everybody, for Oichlin. And the shir for Shtiya of Maloy Lugmav, the Mishnah says it depends on each person. It's going to be an individual shir. So why is it that the Shtigmari raises the question, how come the shirim are different on Yom Kippur from Kala Tarakula, that here the shir Achila is larger and the shir Shtiya is smaller than the standard Easter? So the Gemara says, no, because here it's not a tradition of Achila, it's a din of Inud. It's Allah of Kala Nefesh Ashalosuunah. So the Chachamim have established that the shir for inui purposes is malay lugma by drinking, and the shir for achila purposes is kosevis hagasa. So the pashtus is, if it's a shir of inui, itim lehule rabbana, the Gemara says, and the Chachamim estimated, they established that less than this shir is not going to affect his, if he eats less, not going to affect, he's still going to be starving. He won't even help him partially fill his stomach. So then it's also this kind of a shir. How does it make sense over here that Rabbi Yochanan should say Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah? He should have said like Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah, by Macholos Asuras, by other things, you do Malach on Shabbos, you carried less than the Shir, or you harvested less than the Shir. You did a Malach less than the Shir. But over here, if he eats less than the Shir, He didn't do any violation at all. This should be like a chatzishir, that washing your hand is not a chatzishir of a bath. You don't say, he partially took a shower. Because he washed his finger, he dipped his finger, the etzbatana, the betainan, they say, oh, it's a chatzishir of a shower. It's not a chatzishir of a shower. A shower is a kol aguf, it's a shower. You can't even say over here chatzishir of a shower. How come the Gemara has punkt Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with Reish Lakish on this inyan? This should be the place where it doesn't make any sense. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch they quote this concept that it doesn't make sense to apply chatzishir over here. It says in Hilchas Shabbos when you say kiddush over a cup of wine, the Gemara has a klal. In order to be considered kiddush ala yayin, somebody has to drink the wine. It doesn't necessarily have to be the one who said the Kiddush, one of the other people, even a child before Bar Mitzvah. Some Jewish person has to drink the wine, otherwise they're not going to the din of Hamarach Sel Shiyit. The Gemara says, you have to drink a Malay Lugma. The Kama, a Malay Lugma by not in Beinani, is usually Rav Revi'it. Sometimes larger, sometimes smaller, depending on how big the mouth is, how big the cheek is. So the Shulchan Aruch has a Machlokes HaRishonim, the Machaba quotes Machlokes HaRishonim. What if you have a big family, a husband and a wife, and they have 15 children, and everyone wants to drink a sip of the Kiddush wine, and nobody has a Malay Lukma. No one person drank a Malay Lukma. Everybody had a sip, and all the wine disappeared. Is it Mitzaref or not? So one opinion is yes, the other opinion is no. Why not? How come it's not Mitzaref? So the Vilna Gaon explains, how can it be, the Vilna Gaon according to Rishon, how can it be Mitzaref? Malay Lukma is the Shia for Inui, that it fills you up a little bit, it breaks your fast, if you're fasting, breaks your fast. It doesn't make sense to say, he had a mashu, and he had a mashu, and everybody's starving, and you had a malay lugma. No, the shir malay lugma means someone is full. How can you be mitzar from two different people if no one is full?
Maybe there's not a din from
food. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe there's a din that the wine should be drunk.
Doesn't have to be that I should.
You said that I don't have to drink it personally, right?
Right. As long as
somebody drinks it. So there the din is that the wine has to be drunk, because otherwise it's not that kiddush on a yayin. So it doesn't matter how many people drink.
Right. So that's one opinion. Yeah. That from many people you can't be mitzar from a lot of them. But then the Mechaber says the Yesh Omrin. No, the Gemara says Tima, the Kama, the Tima, how much is it? Malay Lugma. So the Shon, the Machab, quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim, is it good if one person will have a half a Malay Lugma, the other one will have a half a Malay Lugma? Together, both of them had a Malay Lugma, but no one person had a Malay Lugma. So does that make sense to be Mitzaref? It's zero and zero, it's zero. It's not even a Chatzishir, it's a Chazero. So that's what the Vilna Gaon explains. The reason why there's one opinion, that you cannot be mitzaref a chatzi malay lugma for Reuven and a chatzi malay lugma for Shimon, because the half a malay lugma is garnished. It's like a chatzi shear of a person's washing his pinky. You say it's a chatzi shear of a shower. The nishkan chatzi shear of a shower. So the same over here. It's like carrying beis amis in the rishus tevat. It's not even a chatzi shear. Right. So you assume there's no prohibition. When he was old and sick, and the doctor said he has to eat on Yom Kippur, so he said he didn't have the heart to eat. He said that even though the doctor said the suffix Safanis, he didn't have the heart to eat, so he insisted on having intravenous. Because he had this hang up. To him, when you eat on Yom Kippur, the world comes to an end. Strictly speaking, the halacha says if you have to eat, you're allowed to eat. You're not mechuyav to go have an intravenous. He said he didn't feel right. Right, the Gemara has the machlokes here. The Gemara has it here. So that's the tella that the Achronim has. How can Rabbi Yochanan say here? The Yerushalmi has the machlokes by Zar Shalchal Truma. The Mishnah says in Masechet Truma, that it's forbidden for a zar to eat truma. So Yishalmi cracked that kasha. Forbidden? That's the law. What do you mean forbidden? So Yishalmi says, La nitzachel alochat ishir. That the nita b'day shamayim is ashach al truma is nita b'day shamayim for eat the full kazai, the full kashir. Eat the chati shir, it's osir, but there's no nita b'day shamayim. So then Yerushalmi has the machlokes of Yechamei Shlokish, that ether that you just stretched into the Mishnah, that a zar is forbidden to eat truma, a chati shir, is that a nita deraita, nita derabana? So there we understand of Yechamei's opinion that it's a nita deraita. But here by Yom Kippur, it's hard to understand. How come Rabbi Yechanan says over here the chati shiras manatera? If the together of the yisur is called nefesh shalos ina avot avinui, so if it's a chati shir of violation of ina, so there's no violation. There's nothing with nothing. So shouldn't you say that here Rabbi Yechanan should be moida to reish lokis, the chati shir should be mutter? How can Rabbi Yechanan maintain a shita here by Yom Kippur? So the Chacham Sofer has a piece on this. So he says, you see, from these gemara, he's bothered with that kasha. So he said, we see from the Gemara that there are two prohibitions on Yom Kippur. There's one prohibition, gedar adin avinu, then there's another din. Eating on Yom Kippur is also, even if it doesn't break the inu. So that Easter of eating on Yom Kippur, that's what brings about the chatzi shir asman atur. You have to say something like that.
I want to ask about the seal. You know, drinking is a normal eating. You're drinking something,
so the pastor says that it should be. I know years ago some of the Rabbonim would recommend that if someone has to swallow a pill, they say you should drink something with it. They used to recommend you should swallow it with a little Listerine, because it's not roi lachila. They say if you drink a whole bottle of mouthwash, you should call the poison control center. If you drink a whole bottle, if a child drinks a whole bottle, but if you just take a few drops of it, you won't get so sick, and it's your fellow. The thing is that if you have Michael, the Mishnah says, if a person eats macholim that are not roi lachilo, or drinks mashkin that are not roi l'shtiyah, so then there's no isur deraita. There will be an isur derabanan because of achshavei. If the person sits and he eats it, let's say you have chazer, that's not roi lachilo. And the fellow sits and he eats it. So that's a machleik of Rishonim, is then an isur derabanan. So in Shulchan Aruch, in the second chelik, you're dead. You in the second chelik, you talk about the rush. That there is an Issa Derabbanan because of Achshavei. If you sit and you eat it, you demonstrate that subjectively, you personally like it. So as far as you're concerned, you hold that it's not Nisbal Me'achila. So that's why it's also Derabbanan. In our third, it depends on normal people, on Rebbe Ne'odim. Rebbe Ne'odim say that it's not Rebbe Lachila. But in the Derabbanan, we say that since you personally feel that it's good, so it's also Derabbanan. But over here, you can't say Achshavei. He's swallowing this mouthwash just in order to swallow down the pill. So the pashtus says, in this case, it wouldn't even be an issa derabanan if you swallow something that's not rei lishtiyah. I don't know, years ago, they used to say, I don't know if this is true, they used to say that Ramosha said that even on Yom Kippur, if you need to swallow a pill, you can take it with water. I don't know if it's authentic.
It's not written down.
Pardon me?
I'm making a
bracha. No, I don't say bracha.
Yeah.
The Gemara says in Brachas that on water you only say Brachas Shosamayim Litzamay if he's thirsty. And you only say Brachas Achayim if he drank a Revius Litzamay, which is not so often. Let's say if a person has to swallow a pill and he takes orange juice with it, then he does say Brachas on swallowing orange juice. Or he has milk, or he has flavored tea with sugar. So he does say a bracha, but if he only has plain tea without flavoring, no sugar or water, so then the only one that's talking a bracha of Sha'akalit is Shosh Mayim Litzamah if he's really thirsty. Yeah. But it is a shtiyah. It is achila. It's royal achila, and he's drinking it. But it is an achila for the purposes of Yom Kippur. It is an achila. For the purposes of bracha, they would have a machayiv if he's just drinking water. And if not Litzamah, so they would have a machayiv a bracha.
No, she held the same way by Pesach, no? If you can't drink alcohol is actually, if you have to sell it, you know, if you sell it something, like a perfume bottle. So somebody might think it.
I don't know, if it's not real achila, it should be mutter.
But it's in the war, you can make people alcoholic, and if the alcoholic is in the...
Yeah, that was a crazy people do all kinds of crazy things, but the pashtus is not real achila, it's mutter. If it's not necessary, it's not right to use it. Even though it's mitzvah nachila, it's not right to use it.
It's not swallowed.
Yeah. But strictly speaking, if a person swallows it, it wouldn't be an issa deraisa. The issa would be only the rabbanim, because the pashtus is a mouthwash, not real achila. All the mouthwashes have traces in them. They all have, glycerin, yeah, they all have, glycerin is very tasty. Glycerin is not nitzol na'achila. Glycerin is real achila. And the glycerin is sometimes from animal and sometimes from vegetables. It's a 50-50 chance any season of the year. Maybe treif, maybe kosher. You can never tell whether it's kosher glycerin or treif or glycerin. The only thing is that because they mix the glycerin, if you buy a bottle of glycerin in the drugstore, that's real achila. But if you mix it in with all the other stuff in the mouthwash, that's poikin it, it makes the nitzvah achila sodom. Which normal person wants to get sick if you drink a whole bottle? So obviously the thing is not real achila. It tastes terrible. So the, years ago for sure was like that. The Listerine was for sure nitzvah achila. But even the way they have now the scope with the flavoring, so it's not so bad, but still not real achila. People would never drink, scope, but it's still not real achila. So if a person has to swallow pill on Yom Kippur, so that's what they used to recommend. He should swallow it with, if he has to take some liquid, he should swallow with, some mashke that's not real achila. Yeah. In the Sefer Yisra, the Hefter, Sefer Yisra, the Hefter has all the dinim of kashrus and shchita and treifus and everything. And bishalakim and pasakim. So he has one, the last simon is about sopik pikuach nefesh. So he writes that there was one of the Bali HaTesvis who was dangerously sick on Yom Kippur, and the doctor told him that if he doesn't eat, for sure he's going to die. And if he eats, he stands a chance of living. So he decided to prava chumra, he tested and he gestorben. As predicted. As the doctor predicted, he tested on Yom Kippur and he died. And all the Bali HaTesvis said that he did wrong. So what was his chachma? What kind of a chachma was that? The halacha says, the whole sugya of pikuach nefesh is in the last parak in Yom Kippur. It says that people who have to eat on Yom Kippur. If they're chayla, a slight sex fake of a suffix sakana. The Liri points out, even if it's only a sex fake of a suffix sakana, even if the odds are, let's say the odds are that he's going to survive even if he doesn't eat, or the odds are that he's going to die anyway even if he does eat, so you're not allowed to follow the roif. Lahocha b'pikuach nefesh sakana roif. As long as there's a slim chance that eating on Yom Kippur may save his life, so the halacha says that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. No, they told him just like it's a mitzvah. No, it's not the same mitzvah. Rabbi Breuer used to go visit all the older people in Washington Heights. He himself was an older man at the time, so he used to tell him that just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people, the fast on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah for the people who have to eat, that they should eat, but it's not the same mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Shema to Meod and Nafshasechem, and that's a mitzvah fasting on Yom Kippur. You're not yet to the Ina Yom Kippur. The Mishnah has it in if a woman is pregnant, and the doctors say that there's a Safek Sakona, Ubrish Eilicha, that's on Tebe Seminal. Pregnant woman smells food and there's a Safek Sakona. So you have her eat on Yom Kippur. Also, the Gemara tells stories the way that pregnant women had eat on Yom Kippur. So there is a famous machlokes of Rishonim. Who is the suffix sakana for? Baby. What if the suffix sakana is only for the baby? Very hard to gauge such a thing. Who is such an expert who knows there's no sakana to the mother? There's only sakana that she can lose the baby. If she loses the baby, it'll be a suffix sakana to the mother. A woman loses a child, it'll be a suffix sakana to the mother. So it's very rare to have such a case. So the Rishonim have such a theoretical machlokes. Ubish Ericho, does the sakana mean that her life is the sakana? But the Uba wasn't born yet. How can you say b'chay b'hem v'lo she'amitzan? The Uba wasn't even born yet. Or do you say no? Even if the mother's life is not the sakana, just the Uba's life is the sakana, the din is that you also eat on Yom Kippur. So in Rishonim, this is a famous topic. the Rana and the Rif quotes the Machlokes, and the Rosh has the Machlokes, with the Tosis and Nida has the Machlokes, and the Tumul back and forth, and the Shulchan Aruch, no one says a word. Tell us this. The Shulchan Aruch, nobody says a word on the topic. Maybe because it never comes up. It's always a suffix takana for the mother. Well, what's the deal if you taka have such a case? Let's say, the woman is in surgery or something. She's in the hospital, everything is under control. And the doctors say there's absolutely no takana to the best of their knowledge. No takana to the mother. Only takana to the Uber, unless you be Michal Shabbos with something. There's takana to Uber, Deicha Shabbos. There's no psak in Shulchan Aruch. So they quote the Chazanish and others said, Lahakel. Whenever there's a suffix, any suffix at all, in Pikuach Nefesh, you always say, Pikuach Nefesh, suffix Pikuach Nefesh, also Deicha. Not only a suffix in Mitzias, whether the person's life is in danger, a suffix in Aloha also. There you have a suffix Pikuach Nefesh, a suffix in Din. Whether Pikuach Nefesh of an Uber is Deicha Shabbos or not, Deicha Yom Kippur or not. So we pass in Lahakel that it is Deicha. So that's what they all left. They don't understand Balatetis. Where was the Chachma? Where were his brain? It's often a sugya. So all the sugyas of people have nefesh are in Lagabi fasting on Yom Kippur. So the doctors told them that if you fast, you'll vadai die. And if you leave, you stand the chance of saving your life. So what was his Chachma? No, they don't. I don't know. The Gemara quotes Lady Adair Maris Navshan.
Shabbos, no?
No, the Gemara here.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but the Tosha.
Or drinking water with a
pill.
Let's say a person has a heart condition.
The
doctor says he's supposed to take it every day. Isn't there an element of
that?
Here?
Yeah. Whenever there's any suffix, takana, you have to take it. Yeah. Any slight suffix, takana, yeah. But the Pelas, what was this chesman of the Balatensis? What did he think? So some explain, and they say, later there, Maris Nafshe, the Gemara has that. The Gemara has like this. The doctor tells the patient, Machleg is the doctor against the patient.
Yeah.
The doctor said, you have cancer and you need surgery. The patient says, no, I'm fine, I don't need. So he's just in denial. The doctor knows better, so you don't listen to the patient. Or the doctor says, you broke your leg and the treatment is this and this, and we have to do something today on Shabbat. The patient says, no, it's going to get better by itself. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a layman. So, of course, you listen to the doctor. You don't listen to the layman. But if it's a machlekes on Yom Kippur, whether he's starving to death, and the person says, I don't feel hungry. And the doctor says, no, I think that it's a suffix takana if you don't eat. He says, I feel full. I ate the chicken soup on every Yom Kippur. I stuffed myself and I'm not hungry. So then the Gemara says, when it comes to hunger, maybe you're there, Maris Nafsha. He doesn't have any barometer to measure how hungry I am. He has instruments to measure other things, my heartbeat, and my blood pressure, and other things. He can't measure how hungry I am. So then you say, Lady Adair Maris Nafsha, the person knows when he's hungry enough. He says, I don't feel any hunger pain. So then you tell him, don't listen to the doctors. But over here, the fellow was an old sick man.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, if you don't eat, for sure you're going to die. And if you do eat, you stand the chance of saving your life. So isn't that suffix sakonis nefesh? So they farempa, but we don't pass them like this. They farempa, because the way the doctors presented it, that's how the Issa of the Hesed quotes it. The way the doctors presented it was, if you don't eat, for sure you're going to die. And even if you do eat, the likelihood is that you're going to die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slim chance that if you eat on Yom Kippur, then you'll save your life. So he held that ain't suffix makes him a vada. Since it's a vada, he's going to die anyway, whether he eats or he doesn't eat. So what's the Hesed to eat? Maybe. Maybe he'll save his life, a slim chance. The Er Gehalten, which is not correct by Allah, Er Gehalten, it ain't something to make them day by. But we don't talk to like that.
To
prolong his life, Chayishor. The Gemara calls it Chayishor, that's correct. Sure. So we talk in any Sufik Kaldahu, is considered a Sufik Takan.
Not critical of him,
he wasn't. No, it wasn't right. He didn't.
He
told all the others that they have to, they were in Siberia. Rabbi Kiva Rappaport, the one who wrote the Migdash David. So he died from malnutrition because he told everybody else they should eat the macholas asuris, that they gave him non kosher food. And he didn't have it within himself to eat the chaza. He didn't want to eat it. So he died from malnutrition. And that was wrong. Yeah, that was wrong. What can he do? He said that he's a nun. He knew he was going to die. He said he can't help himself. He abhors the traitors, he's not going to eat it. They talk a die.
wasn't dry.
They didn't have intravenous. Did you tell them they didn't have onion pickles?
Sure, that's it. Yeah.
But he didn't eat. I mean, he relied on the intravenous. It's the same two guys. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, okay. I know. The whole sugya of pikuach nefesh comes here regarding eating on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim, that not only avada is sakana, even a suffix sakana, even a spek of a sakana, any suffix sakana called who is derecha Shabbos and derecha kolatar kulu, is derecha everything. Then the Mishnah is talking about the kaparas, the Yom HaKippurim. What does it mean? The Mishnah and pei hey on the day. Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. What does it mean? Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. What kind of a lashon is that? When you bring a carbon, you gave a matana. A carbon is a matana. Bringing a carbon is mechaper. I understand. What do you mean? Just surviving on Yom Kippur? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper elchem tarachem lefnei Hashem. Ki bayom hazeh, on this day I forgive you. Why does God forgive on Yom HaKippur? What does that mean? Yom Kippur is
mechaper. Inu is like a carbon.
So when a person fasts, that's also like a carbon. Let's say the person is not well and the doctor say he has to eat and he eats on Yom Kippur. So you still say that Yom Kippur is mechaper. What is the Yom Kippur mechaper about? The Rav Soloveitchik explained, he said the base of ki bayom hazeh yechaper, he said in the, using the terminology of the Rishonim in grammar, he said this would be called the base hakeli. Ki bayom hazeh does mean on this day of Yom Kippur I will atone all of your sins with the kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur. Like a person gets a kapara al yedei korbanos by bringing a korban. A person gets a kapara with the power of Yom HaKippur. What do you mean with the power of Yom HaKippur? So he explained, we assume that this is true. We assume that on Yom HaKippurim there is a hashrat hashchina on Klal Yisrael wherever they are, not only in Har HaBayis. Not only those people are going to daven in the Har HaBayis on Yom Kippur. There's hashrat hashchina on the Klal Yisrael all over the world. How do we see that on Matzah Yom Kippur? We have a meaning that we recite Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times. The Tosfos asks the question in Brachos, how are you allowed to say 7 times Hashem Hu Elokim? But there's only one God. You're not allowed to say anything that has to do with the Baruch Shalom more than once. The Tosfos says, no, we agree, we're baglating, so to speak, we're wishing along, the Shechina is going back to the seventh heaven. The Gemara Chagig in the second parak establishes from Tanakh that there are Shiva Rikiyim. Gemara Menachos by Tzitzis assumes that there are Shiva Rikiyim. So the Shechina at the end of Yom Kippur, the whole day of Yom Kippurim, there was a special Hashvas HaShechina. When Yom Kippur comes to a close, so we blow Shofar. Blowing Shofar is a similar of the Shechina, like at the end of Maimon HaSinai. When they heard the Shofar, Hema Yala Bahar. When you hear the Shofar, that's a similar of the Shechina. So everybody can climb on HaSinai. And that's why we recite Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times. Each time, the Shechina is going to the next heaven. The first, the whole duration of Yom Kippur, the Shechina is Bayat, wherever the Jews happen to be. And then we, at the end of Yom Kippur, so we say Hashem Hu Elokim, the Shechina is going back to the first Rakia, second Rakia, till it goes to the seventh Rakia. So this Hashuas HaShechina that's with us on Yom Kippur, that's what it means, Ki Bayoim HaZeh Yechaper, with the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur, what is the essence of the Kedushas HaYom? That the Shechina is around us. So the Moshe Lamad David Daima, he said that the Sifrei Chassidus and the Sifrei Grusha have this Moshe, and the Tanakh has the Moshe. If a person has a stain in a beged and you want to clean it out, so you soak it in water, you use detergent, and then you start rubbing. And you rub long enough until it gets all clean. If you rub long enough with detergent, with the water, then it comes out. If it's a small stain, so you rub a little bit. If it's more ingrained, you have to rub some more. So the Tanakh describes sins as stains in clothing. Nichtam avonek lefonai. The sins are like stains in the neshama. So if a person rubs with a detergent, if he rubs his neshama with a detergent, so then he'll be able to purify the neshama. Which detergent can you use to cleanse the neshama? So that's what this one's saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashu Shechinasai amongst us on Yom Kippur more so than all year long. Is always with us, but on Yom Kippur more so. And he gives us the opportunity of rubbing our neshamas with the Shechina. How long do you have to rub? In order to get the stain out?
So that's a machlokes when we say that ki b'yom hazeh al yedei hayom hazeh yichape aleichem with the kedushas hayom with this hashuas hashchina. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is mechape the averis. He wipes off the stain. So the Taisus and Shavuos, the Gemara Shavuos has a machlokes hatanoim. Rebbe and the Chachamim is yom kippur mechaper only if you do tshuva, or even if the person doesn't do tshuva. So the Gemara Pekta Akasha is yom kippur is mechaper even if the person doesn't do tshuva. So how can you ever be chayiv achatos for doing malach on yom kippur or for eating on yom kippur if yom kippur is mechaper right away? So right away he gets the kapara. So how can you ever have a chayiv achatos? So the Gemara gets into the nitty gritty details exactly what moment of kedushas hayoyim of Yom Kippur is Mechaper. The Tesis quotes, the Yerushalmi is of the opinion that Sofa Yom is Mechaper, the last moment of the day. It means you have to rub and rub and rub and rub all day long. You have to rub all day long with the Shekhinah until the Sofa Yom is Mechaper. You have the Gemara Kapo at the end of the day. And the Bavli doesn't assume like that. Bavli assumes that any part of the day, a little bit of rubbing with the Shekhinah is sufficient. And that's the way the Tanoim apparently understood the pasuk ki ba yoim hazeh yichaper aleichem with the kedushas hayoim of Yom Kippur. That's why it says Yom Kippur is mechaper. Doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch is mechaper on Yom Kippur. Since the kedushas hayoim of Yom Kippur is mechaper. An interesting concept. We assume with tshuva, yes. Yes. What is the meaning of twice? I don't know. I don't know. Why do they say twice Hashem Hu HaKim? I don't remember.
Isn't still Rishis in German in the Halacha the night where he started and put them out by a mirror and he showed them to now with his shoes to have him get the authority that he had like himself?
Right, that he was telling him over that Yerushalmi. And the Bavli says not so. Bavli and Shavuot on that Yud Gimel assumes not so.
He thinks that he choked on them.
Yeah, that's what the Bavli answers, right. That he choked in the middle of the evening, right. So he didn't have a chance to have a kapara afterwards, yeah. The Gemara assumes that Rechitza Yom Kippur is forbidden only if it's a Rechitza Shal Tainig. If it's not a Rechitza Shal Tainig, let that person has Sichas, only also Sichas Shal Tainig. Let's say Nisheish Lachatotim Berosha. Someone has some medical condition and is going to smear a wound and is going to smear on oil in order to heal the wound. A person is oil, a person fell into the blotter and he has to wash off the dirt from his face and from his hair. So if he's washing off dirt, or he's washing off the wound, that's not called Shaltaino. So that's permissible both by Rechitza and by Sicha. Yeah. What exactly is needed that it should be called not Shaltaino? So if you do it L'Refua, first you have to ascertain there's a problem of Refua. The Gemara said there's a need to Refua on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. There are 24 prokim in Mishnah Shabbos. One whole perek Shmoneh Shvatim is dedicated to this din, Midrabanon, that it's forbidden with the Rabbana to apply any refuah on Shabbos. Zer Hashem Yishachik Tanaman. Made a special Zer with the Rabbana. So first you have to ascertain the issue of refuah should be mutter. There shouldn't be an issue of the Rabbana. And then once you ascertain that there's no issue of refuah, if the person is in a matzav of a chod Hashem Yishakone, or he's going to smear oil is Michael Brian. People do it when they're healthy. Also they smear oil. And babies they always smear oil. Well, complexion, you know, for other things. So if it's a Michael Bream, it's not miyuchat for cholim, then there's no iser of refuah. So after you ascertain there's no refuah, then you have to determine is there going to be an iser tzicha, or is there going to be an iser of rechitza. So the Gemara says nisheish lachatotin, or he wants to wash off the dirt. So then that's not a violation of rechitza shaltainig. It's not a violation of tzicha shaltainig. That's what the Gemara says. What if, let's say, the person has to daven, a person is a balkari. So Ezra made 10 takonis. Ezra says made 10 takonis. One of the 10 takonis was that a balkari is not permitted to daven, not permitted to learn. Until the period of the Tanoim, later, the period of the Tanoim, so they repealed, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir did away with the takonis. So what about before the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir when it was still observed? We have many, many Mishnahis and Brochas, and here in Yuma, the Leah Zaf and Yuma, Pechesem and Aleph, he more talks about a person became a Balkari on Yom Kippur, and he's not allowed to daven. So Otanish Kembrera, he has to, the man of the woman is Paletta Shikhla Zera. So if a person is not allowed to daven, so that's called Rechitza Shal Mitzvah. That's a mitzvah that they should go to the mikveh in order to enable themselves to daven. The Gemara says, what if he already davened mincha? One Tana says, Rabbi Yossi says, min amincha lamayla, he's not allowed to go to the mikveh. That's on the last daf on Peches and Menal. On Yom Kippur. If he already davened mincha on Yom Kippur, there's no heter to go to the mikveh.
Drag them up, but nothing to daven nila.
He didn't daven nila yet. The Gemara says, that Tana obviously is of the opinion, he can be here to nila balayla. So let him go to the mikveh after Yom Kippur is over. He'll go to the mikveh, and then he'll daven nila afterwards. But if you should assume there's a machlokes, when is the correct man for nila? If you assume that nila has to be completed on Yom Kippur, or at least you have to start, there are three opinions in the Gemara with the Yerushalmi. What is the correct man for nila? You can't daven nila at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can only begin to daven nila when it's towards the end of the day, yeah. But a chama barosha ilonis, when it's soon before the shkia. So one opinion is you have to finish the whole nila before the shkia. One opinion is you have to start nila before the shkia. That's what we accept, that opinion. As long as you start nila before shkia is good. The other opinion is you can even begin nila balayla. So the Gemara says, if you want to, you can daven nila balayla, then nila pat is myra. Then you don't have to, the Gemara says, then you don't have to daven myra, because you already shank your daven. There's no requirement that you have to daven myra. The halacha requires, you have to say kriya shmo with the brach, it's okay. But the shmon esrei, there's no halacha that says you have to daven a myra of dikha shmon esrei. The halacha says you have to daven in addition to all the tefillahs of the daytime. You should offer a tefillah balayla. So if you're davening nila, shen good. Shen you daven nila. Well, you have to have more than that. But if you hold that nila has to begin by yom, and Ma'ariv has to begin by Laila, so then Nila can't replace Ma'ariv. So that's what the Gemara says. This Tana Rav Yossi who holds, if the person became a Balkari min amincha l'mayla, and showing you daven mincha, he didn't daven Nila yet, so he says there's no heter to go to the mikvah. Tana Kama says, Tavol b'hal kala yom kuloi. He's committed and obligated to go to the mikvah up until Shkia. If he didn't daven Nila yet, he has to go to the mikvah to enable him to daven nila, and that's tefillah shel mitzvah. The tefillah shel mitzvah is not a violation of the chitzus shel taina. Since the shel mitzvah is the nishkinis of the chitzus shel taina. Rabbi Yossi says, since he can daven nila by laila, to wait till laila, and then go to the mikveh, and then daven nila. No, I don't think we pasken like that. We pasken, our practice is that we start nila bayom and we finish balayla. Chazan for sure finishes balayla. So we pasken like that middle sheet that you have to at least begin bayom. As long as you can begin bayom, then you can finish balayla. But if they didn't even begin bayom, so pasal, so they were anusim, they couldn't daven nila. Nish dismish. The next year. Next year will take care of another person. Then we put the next year on, nish mechui. If they're busy taking care of other things, so they don't have to daven nila. Tosfos just has, Tosfos points out, there is a machlokes hatanoim. Let's say stam, a person is tamei. He doesn't have to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not holding by eating mashashena garnish. Do you say tefila bizman or mitzvah, that every person has a mitzvah in HaTorah? When it says in the Chumash Berachah, it says, v'sara b'amayim v'tahir. That means that there's a mitzvah to be teufel at the earliest opportunity to shake off the tumor. But he's saying, no, the pasuk just says, if you'll go to the mitzvah, you will become tahor. Philip is man is love mitzvah. So it's an ishke mitzvah, it's a dvar harshus. If you want to become tahor, it doesn't mean that you have to. So the Gemara says, if you hold Philip is man a mitzvah any day of the week, if you hold Philip is man a mitzvah whenever a person is tummy, there's a mitzvah min atar that he should teufel in the mikvah at the earliest available opportunity and shake off the tumor. Then the Gemara has a brisa that anyone who's tamei on Yom Kippur, not only a Balkari. Balkari, there's a Takanas Ezra that doesn't allow you to daven. Calls man before the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Mister, when the Takanas Ezra was still betokfo, so Balkari is not allowed to daven until he goes to the mikvah. Let's say he's Nishkan Balkari. He touched the sheret, some other tumor that doesn't affect his ability to daven. But still, anyone who became tamei, if you're Philip is man in mitzvah, you have to go to the mikvah to become tahor. Irregardless of whether you have to daven. So that Tana holds Tfilah b'zman and mitzvah would say that you, all of the kol chavit tfilas tavim kedarkam yom kippurim, anyone who has to go to mikvah goes to mikvah on Yom Kippur, since it's a mitzvah, it's not called v'chitzah shaltayim. The Tesis claims, here is the Tesis in the Shabbos, that Kuf Chafalet, the same Tesis appears. The Tesis claims that the Iker is, like the other Gemara in Shabbos, that even if Yod Tfilah is van a lav mitzvah, but sof kol sof, when the person does go to the mikveh, he will accomplish a tahara. He will become tohar. So since the Tfilah is mitayer him, so that itself accomplishes that it's not called rechitza shaltainim. To be mafkia the shame shaltainik, it's not necessary that the rechitza should be shal mitzvah. It doesn't have to be that he's dirty. It doesn't have to be dafka that he's dirty or that chatata mirosha lirafua for other purposes. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah either, as long as it's a rechitza hametaharis. As long as this tefillah in the mikveh is mitzurif to the accomplishment of tahara, that he's gaining tahara, that's also mafkia the shame rechitza shaltainik. Any rechitza stam, any time a person, if he just sticks his pinky into cold water, that's also called rechitza shaltainik. What tainik is that he doesn't get any pleasure? The answer is, every rechitza is automatically labeled as rechitza shaltainik unless it's mitzurif ledover achir. So if it's mitzurif to refuah, or if it's mitzurif to remove the dirt, or the person wakes up, Taisa says, the person wakes up in the morning, he doesn't wash negel vaser, the Gemara says there may be a roch roda shav al hayadam, and he can't touch his face, and he can't touch the baby, and he can't touch food, he's going to cause the roch roda to be transmitted to other people. So like that's like dirty hands. So he can't touch anything. So he has dirty hands then. So if you have dirty hands, you're allowed to wash your hands on Yom Kippur. So since whenever the rechitz is mitzurf to dover acher, then I say that it's ois shaltainim, then it's mutzur. The Taisa says, even if it's just a rechitza hametaharis, a tefillah hametaharis, even if you have tefillah bizman alav mitzvah, it's also not called rechitza shaltainim, it's also matirit. Even a zav and a zav, I'm not covered with the takana says. The takana says it's only balkari and palet. Is even a zav and a zav, it says, kol chavit tefillah, it's tovun kedarki. Yes.
Why do we limit by just kohanim?
To the extent that it's necessary. What do you mean? We only tell him to wash to the extent that it's necessary. How much you have to wash? Yeah.
But during Yom Kippur,
no, when you wake up in the morning, you only do to the knuckle, because that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Rashi sheet is you have to wash till the wrist. Every day when you wake up in the morning for bread, you have to wash till the wrist. And Taisa says, not like Rashi, you only have to wash till the knuckle. So normally, if you have enough water, so you wash all the way till the wrist. What's the problem? But on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, where it's forbidden to wash unnecessarily, the only reason why we wash is to remove the rach rod. That's like dirt. We have to get rid of the dirt. So it's only permissible to wash to the extent that it's necessary. So we really follow Taisus that it's enough if you wash till a knuckle. If the Kohanim have to duchen, then no one says it's enough till a knuckle. Either you have to wash till the wrist or till the elbow. So we don't pack in the elbow. None of the Kohanim wash their arms to the elbow. Then you have to wash to the wrist. So the Kohanim wants to duchen, has to wash to the wrist. Right? That's what it says. The Dogon Rabbi says the Kohanim who wake up in the morning
should wash
till the wrist. Everyone else only washes till the elbow, to the knuckles, and the Kohanim should wash till the wrist, because when they wash before duchening, they don't say a bracha. And the reason why they don't say a bracha, many Rishonim says, because they rely on the bracha that they said in the morning when they woke up and they washed.
But here,
if you're only going to wash till the knuckles, that the holidays is not sufficient. So then it's going to be an issue. They may have to wash with a bracha right before they duchen. So in order to avoid the machlokes, so some achrayim write that hachamim would never misaken a bracha on the tillis yadayim before duchening. That's how the Levush claims. He says the reason why the kohanim don't recite the bracha when they wash their hands before duchening, and they only say a bracha when you wash for bread or you wash in the morning, he says the hachamim would never misaken a birchas hamitzvah on washing your hands before you duchen. Why? That's not what the Rishonim say. The Rishonim say, Taisa says in Saita, in the Sugya of Duchening. The reason why you don't say a bracha when you wash your hands for Duchening is because according to Rashi, you could have been Yotzei with the Netilas Yadam that you did in the morning. You don't need to take it. You don't need to wash immediately before Machlokes, Rashi and Taisa. Do you require that you should wash immediately before you Duchen? Or no? If you washed in the morning, it's also good. So because all the Kohanim already washed their hands in general, and any Yontif, when they do Chana Rosh Hashanah, let's say. Because they washed their hands in the morning and they said a bracha,
And according to Eifer, the Rishonim, there's no need for them to wash again. Okay. So we're machmir to wash again. Maybe you do need tekef. Maybe the tilis are dying for duchening. It has to be immediately before duchening. But you can't say a bracha on a suffix. So the shaila is, but what if the kohen went to the bathroom in between? So the tilis are dying that he did before. Musaf, he duchens by Muslim, and some shuls they duchen by Nila. Some shuls they duchen by Nila. And the stomach went to the bathroom in the course of the day. So the Netilus Adam that he did in the morning is not Oila for later. But then when he washes, he should say a bracha. He should really say a bracha later on. So the Levush claims, no, they will never miss out on a bracha. And others think that it's not correct. So that's what the Dogam of Bava writes on Shulchan Aruch, that a Kohen who wakes up in the morning, who thinks that he's not going to have to go to the bathroom again before he duchens, it's going to be a long time till he's going to duchen. 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe the Davin Hashkama Minyan with this guy. Huh? So he thinks he's not going to have to go to the bathroom before he duchens. So he should wash till the wrist and say the bracha in the morning, not to get involved in the suffix bracha. That's what he says. No, but the guy doesn't have to wash till the wrist. That's
according
correct.
According to Toy Service, what's Peter's Nindu? According to Toy Service, what is the status of Peter's Nindu?
Migar Adin, it says, Nida is also Tavelas by Yom Kippurim. It says in the Brisa, Nida may be Tavel Leil Yom Kippur. Nida has to be Tavel as Balayli. Either if Yol Tfilah Bizman HaMitzvah, or Tesis claims even in Yol Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah, most of the Rishonim hold Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah. In the days of the Gonim, most of the Gonim hold Tfilah Bizman HaMitzvah. In the days of the Rishonim, the Tzach shifted, most of the Rishonim hold Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah. That's in the first period. This Machleg is whether Tfilah Bizman HaMitzvah, Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah is Dafches, in the first period. So even if Yol Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah, they say, but still, it's a Tfilah HaMitaheres. So that's why, strictly speaking, it's not a violation of Rechitzu Shal Tainik. But Taisa says, but Bizman HaZeh, the only person who goes to Mikveh is a married woman, and single women, we don't permit them to go to Mikveh because they're going to sin. What are they going to use the Mikveh for to sin? The married woman also, we only permit them to go to Mikveh if after going to Mikveh, they'll have a Heter Lebailo. But on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, there is no Heter Labayla. So that's why, even though Mitzad Hilchus Rechitza, it's Mutter, it's not a Rechitza Shal Tainek, but it's a Gzera. We don't allow single women to go to Mikveh. We don't allow a woman to go to Mikveh whenever it won't be Mat to her. Labayla.
Labayla. Sometimes certain communities the single women go at it, by Yom.
That's a question. In Mate Ephraim, I think the Mishnah Berurah probably quotes this from Mat Ephraim. Mat Ephraim says that the minhag is on Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody goes to the mikveh, men, women, children, single, married, everybody goes to the mikveh. So many years ago, around 40 years ago, when the girls started going to Eretz Yisrael for a year, and the boys and the girls started learning in Eretz Yisrael for a year and coming back, so they went to some seminaries in Eretz Yisrael and they taught them that din. So they came back to New York, so they wanted to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. So the mikveh lady said she never heard of this. So they called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he said the Sefarish in the Mat Ephraim. So he said, we don't have that minhag. We don't allow single girls to go to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. That's our minhag. We don't allow. So that's what Tosfos says. We don't allow the women to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, not so much because of the Yisra Rechitza. No, it's not a Rechitza Shal Tainik. It's a mitzad de inuyim. It's really mutter. Because whenever the woman is asur al bailo, we don't permit them to go to mikveh because this will mislead them into thinking that they have a heter. There's a shaila, let's say the husband is sitting shiva. The woman has to go to mikveh tonight, and the husband's in the middle of shiva, so the tefillah is not going to be mata her la bailo. But it's not her problem, that's her husband's problem. So do you say the woman is married woman is not allowed to go to mikveh until after the shiva is up, after the husband's shiva is up? Or do you say no? What has it got to do with her? She is Mataris Labaila. He's offered to be with her. So that's a deal. That's a deal in Maram Shik. He had a Rav Shlomo Breuer, when he was engaged, was learning the dinim. Rav Shlomo Breuer was a Talmud of Maram Shik. So he sent this Shaila, what's the din if the husband is in the middle of Shiva? Is the wife allowed to go to mikveh? He sent her back, he wishes a mazel tov on his engagement, and he sends him back a tshuva. I think he says mutter. I don't remember for sure. I think he says mutter. What? Right. So it will be relevant. On Yom Kippur also, it will be relevant. It will take off the other prohibition. But still, we don't, on Yom Kippur, we don't allow it.
Especially if they ate Chuma, they would have had to go. If they, with the time that there was Chuma,
yeah,
would have to go to the mikvah.
In order to eat Chuma. Yeah, it was relevant. Yeah. The whole taste only goes, Bizman Azeh, that the only people who go to mikvah need the labaila to be matar labaila, and if it's not going to be matar anyway, then we don't allow it. What do you say in some communities they do go to mikvah? Okay.
Married
one.
Oh,
yeah.
So will we go?
Yeah, yeah. They're not their friends, like that. But that's right. That's not our practice. That's not our practice. Really? But married women. Uh-huh.
What about following Kogan in the shul for women? Is there any...
Soloveitchik mentioned many years ago, he said that where he came from in Eastern Europe, he never saw such a practice that the women should
fall for a showman. You just said it. You should have a showman.
Right.
The women, but as there's no shim such, didn't he, or they had no.
He said when he came to Berlin, that's the first time he saw that the women were banged down, so he started to think, what should it depend on? What's the question? So he said, it says in the Yerushalmi, in the davening, HaKohanim Ha'omdim Ba'azara. Those who are in the Azara, so Yishamim Et Hashem Ha'yikor Mishtachmon. So the Kiyum Hishtachmon is only in the Azara. He's learned that from the Pasuk, that Hishtachlo is only Azor, is learned out in the Pasuk that says by Bikurim, Yishtach Abisu Lefnei Hashem Alakecho. So the quote from the Vilna Goyen, Amishnah is Bikurim, that din, the Hishtach Abisu, is not a din that's Miyuchad Davke to Bikurim. It's a din, whoever enters the Azor has to be Mishtachle, because Hishtachlo is a special mitzvah, only a Migdosh. They said the women were never in the Azor, the women were always in Harabais, because the Ezra's Noshim was never in the Skadish Bikdushas Azor. So the Yerushalmi says that Harechoikim, those who were far away, would just suffice with saying Baruch Shem Kohen Mechus Elyon Avod. Akroivim, those who were close to the Kohen Gadol, would be Karei Mishtach Memoid, and then they would say Baruch Shem. So who are the Akroivim, who are the Rechoikim? So in our Machzah, we already touched up this Lashon Yerushalmi. That's what the Mefarshim on the Machzah point at. We already touched it up, so we say, Hakanam Am Homdim Wazora. The Akroivim are those who are in the Azora. The Rechoikim are those who are Chutz Lazora. He said, the women were always chutz lazor. So what are the women going to make a zechel amigdash to something that bizman amigdash they never did? He that's thought maybe that's the rationale that's for them.
They have a different problem. My niece, I think.
You don't. It's not a din. It's just a minig zechel amigdash. If a person has a slight problem, so he doesn't. Ois shy.
Somebody suggested that should maybe leave to the smelters could go out. Not to remain standing where everybody has found this fallen koyden, but to leave the room and be outside. They won't see
you. No, you sit down. You sit down in the middle, sure. It is, in Shulchan Aruch, there is a machloikis, what if a person, let's say, ate a suda on Shabbos, Shal Shudas, and he's benching on Matzoy Shabbos, after Tzei Shachacham. A person ate, so some say, well, he has Tosefa Shabbos, he's Moisef Mechayel Ala Kodesh, and since he's Moisef, so you still say Ritzei because it is Shabbos. Okay, let's say he ate on Purim, and there's no Masifa Mechayel Ala Kodesh on Purim. Or he ate on Rosh Chodesh, on a weekday, he ate on Rosh Chodesh, and now it's Matzoy Rosh Chodesh, and there is no Indian of Masifa Mechayel Ala Kodesh, there is a Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Chodesh doesn't have an Eastern Malacha with it, it's only Kodesh with the effect of Akrobas on Musafim. So it's not shach to have Mosifa Mechayel Ala Kodesh on Purim. On Purim there's no Kedusha, and on Rosh Chodesh there's nothing to be Mosif about. So if a person began the Suda on Purim,
But still,
the Hatzilah, there's a Chacham to say, Alanisim Ayalav Yavah. So what if the Suda began? The Suda took place on Rosh Chodesh and on Purim, and the person is benching Matzoy Purim. So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. And we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that you do. You go Basa Haskalos HaSuda. So the Dun Legoyin Sechen Zonah, and that's if, where's the marker for this? The Chuvus HaRosh, the Rishonim, nobody gives any marker. Where's the marker that the issue is that it depends on whether it depends on Tchilas Asuda or not. So the Vilna Gaon stells through to Ne'ila that there's three-way Machloekes HaTanam. We mentioned before, when is the correct man for davening Ne'ila? So the Gemara says, one opinion is that you can start Ne'ila Balayla, Rabbi Yossi holds. When I'm mincha la mailah, if the person became a balkari after shanot gidavin mincha, so he's not allowed to go to mikvah because he can go to mikvah from mitzvah yom kippur and daven nila balayla. And then the Gemara says if he can daven nila balayla, then that covers myrit. You don't have to daven. You don't have to bother to daven another shmona. So shen gidavin nila. Yeah, he became a balkari after mincha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the case in the Gemara.
The Chacham said that if the person does not daven the other tefillah, he cannot say
Okay. He said it doesn't make any sense to daven Nila. He said Nila is an extra tefillah.
Yeah.
If the person daven Shachris, Mincha, he daven Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, and then he has an added tefillah, Nila is a ribui tefillah. But if he didn't daven anything on Yom Kippur, just going to daven a guy who doesn't observe Yom Kippur, he comes in and just davens Nila. So what do you mean that Nila is supposed to be the icing on top of the cake? That's the finale. In addition to all the tefillah sayam, he even davens an extra tefillah. Yeah. So the Gemara is talking in case it became a balkari yesterday. So the Gemara had the three opinions in the Tanoim and Amaroim. When is the correct man for davening Nila? So one opinion was, if he wants, he can begin Nila balayla. The other two opinions were, no. Nila has to be a Tfilas Yom HaKippur. You daven by Laila, it's not a Tfilas Yom HaKippur. Now, what accomplishes that it becomes a Tfilas Yom HaKippur? So one opinion is, many Rishonim hold like that, you got to finish on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Got to start and finish all Tfilas on Yom Kippur. And Lemaisa, we don't, that's the more correct sheet that would be to finish on Yom Kippur. But by Balabatim, the Rabbanim are all afraid if they're going to finish Nila on Yom Kippur, they're going to go start eating. So that's why they make that the make or machma, whatever you'll say, so they begin Nila by Yom and they finish Nila by Laila. That's the Shita in Yerushalmi. The Babli doesn't have, Yerushalmi has like that. So the Vilna Gaon says, that's the mocker for this machloikis. If you hold, you have to finish Nila by Yom, then you only say Ritzei Yalav Yova in Alanishim if you're benching the same day. But if you hold, you can start Nila Bayom and finish Balayla. So if you started the Suda on Purim, then you can say Allah needs to Malayla.
But there's Moisif Ochol Al Kurdish by Yom Kippur. That's why you can do it. That's why you can continue with Nila.
Uh-huh.
That once it comes night, you're really not Moisif. Otherwise, why would you go? You couldn't go to the Mikveh at night. So it seems from Rabbi Yosef, maybe.
So this is up.
Yeah.
He's still davening in
England. Right.
Yeah, that's the third sheet.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yossi is the third sheet. Right. She said, there is a machlekes harishayim, if you started the meal on Rosh Chodesh, and it's matzoi, and when it's time to bench, it's already ois Rosh Chodesh, it's matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So do you say Yalav Yova or not? So we passed him that you do, but in Shulchan Aruch it is a machlokes. So she was upset why there was no minyan there, so we were davening b'yichidus anyway. So we davened mincha and then we started to eat. As she was benching right before the shkia, so that's when we started to eat the meal. So after she finished her benching, then she screamed at us, she said, Bochum, and she said in Yiddish, the Bochum led in yeshiva all their lives.
They don't know
that it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and you're supposed to avoid getting involved in a machlokes. So she said, either you do like I did, you bench before the Shkia on Rosh Chodesh, or you don't wash until after Tzeisat Kacham. You don't start the meal right before the end of Rosh Chodesh in such a way that you're going to bench on Mitzvah Rosh Chodesh. She said, you should avoid getting involved in the Machlokes.
Why not Shabbos?
But bottom line, same Shabbos,
you can make a Shofar.
The Sama Achreinim write like that. But in the Rishonim, they don't have that consideration. Sama Achreinim write that consideration. And since you're most of the Mechayel of HaKadosh, it still is Shabbos.
Yeah.
Others said
you should
finish
before.
Yeah, more correct is to finish the Shalosh Shudas and bench before the Shkia. Not to get involved.
Especially when there is Rosh Chodesh Sunday. And then you have a double problem, right?
Yeah. So this is interesting that Vilna Gaon understood that there's a Shaychus over here. There's a Shaychus over here. That the Machloikas HaTanoim of Amoroim Are you yotze ne'ila if you began on Yom Kippur but you finish on Matzah Yom Kippur? Is that sufficient to label the tefillas tefillas Yom Kippurim? Or is it necessary to label it as tefillas Yom Kippurim that the whole tefillah should be completed on Yom Kippurim? So he held that there's a tushtel by the eating the meal and benching. You only say Yala V'Yavoy or Alanisim or Itzei if it's a Suda Shabbat. The Rosh says the Suda Shabbat, so some opinions hold you have to begin the Suda on Shabbat is enough. And the others hold no, you have to complete the Suda on Shabbat. Stamps from the Vilna Gaon, if you finish the whole Suda before the Shkir, then everybody would agree that it's okay to say the benching after. The whole machlokes only is whether you go Basa Hascholas HaSuda, or you have to have the entire Suda. But if the whole Suda was before Shkia, and then there was a long drasha for an hour, that's not a problem.
That is a problem. He, but according to him, you should be benching also before the Shkia.
But his tushel seems to be, what's kaveyed as a Tfilas Yom Kippur, and what's kaveyed as a Suda Shabbos? Is it enough that you go Basa Haskola, or do you have to have the entire Tfila, or the entire Suda? So if the whole entire Suda was on Shabbos, showing enough, the whole Suda was on Shabbos. I didn't need anything after this. And the benching is going to be after the Seis HaKuham. He's implying as if that's not a problem. That's not exactly the way we got the impression from the Rishonim. The Rishonim sounds as if the problem, if you're going to bench on it, so after the Seis HaKuham, even though the whole meal was completed before, it's not because half the meal was eaten by Yom and half the meal was eaten by Lion. That's the way Ipsi seems to, that's an original Chiddush. Usually in the Biur Agroa, he just quotes what the Rishonim quote. And once in a long while, he gives an original idea. So this one, I think, is an original one. This tushtel between the Ne'ila with the mentioning of Allah Nisim and the Birchas HaMazon. The problematic, exactly, not so clear what he's driving at. If he ate a little bit after.
Even if he didn't eat after.
The Mishnah Berurah says it's a Tarta Desatzu. Mishnah Berurah claims that if Shabbos was not for Shkodesh, only Sunday is, so how can you say Ritzei and Yal Yal? You got to make up your mind either one or the other. So he says it depends if you already said Ham Abdil, you said Havdolah already, Bitzilu or Alakos. You said Abdullah, then goodbye. Then you only say Yalviyava. You don't say Ritzei. You didn't say Abdullah. You say the Ritzei, don't say Yalviyava. The Minigarlim is that you say both. Not like the Mishnah Berurah. Minigarlim is that we don't hold that it's such a type of discussion. It's a Suda Shabbos, and today's Rosh Chodesh. It's both. It makes sense to say both. Minigarlim
is that is it only, you only say Yalviyava if you ate something at night, and if you didn't?
If you ate something at night, for sure it makes sense to say both. And even if you didn't, also, it makes sense to say all of the other. Self to self, you're benching Amir Shkodesh.
But according to this, how could the shuls make a minute that you eat Shalosh Sudas and you go into at night? For the Ketrillah, it's not right.
It's not right. The Ketrillah is not right. That case is the Machlokes of Rishonim.
Yeah.
That's where they have the argument, the Rosh and the other Rishonim.
Don't we say that you
have that's a Kula.
Of course you do.
More correct is to bench by Yom.
You start with any eating to bench at night.
What?
You bench at night.
You want it to be called, you want to be out to the Suda Spurim, so if you're going to eat the main course, the place you're going to eat Balayla,
yeah,
the Suda Spurim only consists of a slice of bread, a Shvache Suda Spurim.
So what?
What about
it's already night.
It's not from the cabin. Then you wouldn't say
Ritzay?
It doesn't matter.
Marav
doesn't make
night. Nice.
Well,
we would say Ritzay. No, but it's Kabbal Shabbos. First, Mapa Makadish, and then
he eats. It doesn't matter if you wash before Shabbos.
Yeah. This is a Suda Shabbos.
He wanted something about the Nigun is covered here. The Nigun in the Kriyas and Menachas and in Kippur, this Kavaya was the Zakriyas.
What the nature of the Kriyas HaTeres?
The Nigun, you're lying with a different Nigun.
the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha.
Yeah.
Here the Gemara in Pei Aleph on the days is discussing a pasuk and chumash that's really problematic. In Parshas Emor it says it gives you all the dinim of all the Yamitayim. So it says you should fast on the ninth day of Tishrei. V'yinisim es nafshasechem v'tisha l'chodesh bo erev. What's our lashon v'tisha l'chodesh bo erev? On the ninth of Tishrei at night. Ninth of Tishrei is the tenth of Tishrei. What kind of a lashon? V'tisha l'chodesh bo erev. It's Leil Yud Tishrei. So the pasuk b'shan the pasuk means you fast on Yom Kippur. You fast on Leil Yud Tishrei. How does the pasuk write backwards? V'tisha l'chodesh bo erev. So the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tanoim, what to do with that pasuk. So half of the tanoim say that the pasuk means you should start fasting the bod yom, and mikan we derive shemasif mechor alakodesh. This is the source of the dreams. And it's not a lochal emotion mitzina. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah daftes and aleph here it says on the site. The whole sugi in Rosh Hashanah daftes. So the Gemara there quotes other tanoim who disagree. It's not their right, it's a lochal emotion mitzina. What's the source? There is a halacha Moshe Mitzinai regarding Shnas HaShmita. Every 70 years of Shmita year, so you're not allowed to do Avodas HaKarka in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a halacha Moshe Mitzinai of Esa Netiyas. That during this man of Tosefes Shvi, it's not only are you not allowed to do, the halacha Moshe Mitzinai has a Hakdama to it. You're not allowed to do, not only you're not allowed to do Malachas HaKarka during Shnas HaShmita, from Rosh Hashanah of Shmita to the end of Shmita to Rosh Hashanah, even 30 days before that day, you're also not allowed to do Malachas HaKarka, unless it's Esen Netiyas. Netiyas are young saplings that are scattered about in a field properly spread out. If it's too far spread out, the din doesn't apply, and if it's too close to each other, it doesn't apply. It has to be scattered out in such a way that doing the Avodas HaKarka will be helpful sustain these young saplings, they'll grow. So there's an exception to the rule. The Halacha Moshe Mitzin gives you a rule with an exception to the rule. Yeah. The rule is that there is a din of Tosefes Shviyish and Shnas HaShmita, because just like Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur have a Kedusha Sayyim, so Shnas HaShmita the whole year is Shnas Shabbos and Tehillah. The whole year has a Kedusha Zman. It's not us to write or to erase or to do business in Shnas HaShmita. The whole year has a Kedusha Zman in the Geta Avodas HaKarka. So the din is that there's a din of Masif and Mechor Lala Kodesh, even in Shemitah. Kavachaymer on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, which have a more chomadik level of Kedusha Sayyam, Kedusha Zman. So the Gemara says, the Tanaim who subscribe to that, who say that there's such a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, assume that there's a rule with an exception to the rule. The rule is that there is a din of Tosefes Shviyas, an exception to the rule, by Yes and Matthias it's Mutter. Yeah. So there, and then the Tanoim derive from there with a Kavachem and Madach and Shemitah. There's a din of Tosefes Shviyas, Koshken Shabbos and Yom Tov Yom Kippur. There's certainly a din of Tosefes Masif Mechor Lo Hakodesh. And this Tan over here disagrees. He says no. Tosefes Yom Kippur is the right not Halacha Moshe Mitzina. Mochamad. The din the right and din the Rabbanon. And then there's something in between. A din the right that Halacha Moshe Mitzina is up to a slightly lower level. Then a din deraisa, which is learned out from a pasuk. So this Tana says that Tosefes Yom Kippurim is mamish a din deraisa. It's not only halacha Moshe Mitzina. The Bimigodim has a nafkeminus ledina about this. Then the Gemara has a comment in Masechah Sukkah at the end of the second parak. The Gemara says even women who are normally exempt from mitzvah saseh shehazman gromo are obligated to be moisif mechoil ala kodesh and erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says in Beitzah, there would be women who would eat till the last minute on Erev Yom Kippur. So you let them go, you don't bother them because.
Why do you let them go?
No, the Gemara says because Mutav Shiyushagigim Velo Yom Medim. We know they're not going to listen. If you know for sure they're not going to listen, then you don't give Tachacha despite the fact that it's their Isa. The Gemara said first they thought maybe it's only on Dinam Derabban, then they say no. So the Gemara is assuming that Tosefes Shviyas is a Din Der Isa even for women. The Gemara here learns it up in the pasuk on Chof Ches and the days in Sukkim. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger points out in Orachaim in Hilchas Brichas Hamazon. He quotes the Prima Godim to this effect. What does that pasuk teach me? That despite the fact that the Tosefes Yom Kippurim should have been labeled as a mitzvah saseh shehazman gromo, women should have been exempt. The pasuk tells me that women are mechuyev. So, what is it? Is just an exception to the rule? Kiddushin is an exception to the rule, and Hakel is an exception to the rule. They have a lot of mitzvahs says the Shazman Grama that the women are mechuyev. There are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs that are covered by the rule. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Kiddushin. Regarding this rule, there's Zman Grama. There are more exceptions than the rule applies to. So you could say over here it's an exception to the rule, sure. Tosefish Yom Kippur is an exception to the rule. But the Prima Gadim suggests maybe it's not an exception to the rule. Maybe the rule only applies to a mitzvah saseh Shazman Grama, that's a mitzvah saseh. Maybe Tosefes Yom Kippur is an Iser Aseh. Maybe an Iser Aseh is like a Lois Aseh. A Lois Aseh Shazman Grama, women are Amuza. Hishva Kosev Ishulish will hold on Shem Shabbatar. When it comes to Isurim, the women and the men are the same, even if it's a Lois Aseh Shazman Grama. So maybe what the Gemara is teaching me is, the Pasuk teaches me in Sukkah Dav Chav Ches, the women are just as Mechuyev as men. And Tosefes Yom Kippurim, not that it's an exception to the Kiddush, it's an exception to the rule. But over here the word is that a lav habo mechlal aseh, an iser aseh, is basically a lois aseh. The only difference is that there's no malchus. And a lav habo mechlal aseh, there's no malchus, because in order to get malchus has to be similar to Rosach Mishor Bedisha, has to be similar not only in the nature of the lav. He said if it's a lav shem or maisa, there's no malchus. A lav anikik leaseh, there's no malchus. Lav anikin the tashlumin. Not only the nature of the lav should be similar to Rosach Mishor Bedisha, but the way it appears in Chumash has to be similar. It has to either say loy, like loy sachta mishor b'disha, or hishama pen v'yal. But if it's a lav habo mechlal aseh, it's not written in the form of a loy seseh, so the ain a loyke, the Gemara's lashon is lav habo mechlal aseh, aseh. What do you mean it's an aseh? So the Prima Gadim says, no, it's not an aseh. It's a loy seseh. Lav habo mechlal aseh is an iser aseh. It's an iser. It's a loy seseh. It means it's an aseh only with respect to Malkus. Legabi Malkus, it's an aseh. But legabi all other intents and purposes, really, alav haba mechlal aseh is an isa, like a lois aseh. So that's why women are mitzvah, despite the fact that it's a zman grama. That's how the Prima, that's how Rabbi Kadega quotes a suggestion from the Prima Gadim. How much is the Shia Tosefet? How long should, how much time before the day begins? Yom Kippur begins by Ben Hashmoshes. When does Ben Hashmoshes begin? So that's the famous Machlokes. So the Vilna Gaon holds Ben Hashmoshes begins right away at Shkia. At sunset is already Ben Hashmoshes. And against the Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says you've got 55 minutes until Ben Hashmoshes begins. You have plenty of time. You can eat a whole meal after the Shkia, and it's Vada Yom, and then the Ben Hashmoshes begins 55 minutes after the Shkia. So the Vilna Gaon, and then it becomes Vaday Laila, another 15-20 minutes later becomes Vaday Laila. So we're machmer like the Vilna Gaon, that Ben Hashmoshes, like the Baal HaTanya, also like that, the Vilna Gaon. And right away at Shkia is right away Ben Hashmoshes. So how much before Shkia is this man of Masifa Mechoy Lala Kodesh? So some of the Rishonim say on Beitza, on Daf Lamed, where the Gemara says the women eat until the last minute on Erev Yom Kippur, and we really should state them that, but we know they're not going to listen anyway, so we let them go, so we don't bother. Mutu Shishogim. So the Rabbeinu Peretz says on that Gemara, he thinks that it's a half an hour. Well, why 30 minutes? What's that half an hour? Because in the Mishnayis, you have Samach Lemincha Gdailo, Samach Lemincha Ktano. You're not allowed to take your haircut, you're not allowed to eat, and so on. So all the dinim of Samach, they're all dinim de Rabban. All the dinim of Samach is a half an hour. That's what the Rashbam shows from the Gemara. In Pesach, in the Navi Pesach, Samach means a half an hour. And the Gemara has in Shavuot, when a couple are married, so the husband is not allowed to be with his wife when she's a Nida. What about Samach? Samach Levesta. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that even Samach Levesta, they're not allowed to be together. So let's say Samach Levesta. So the Ramban writes on that Gemara Shavuos, let's say the woman has a Vesta's Kavua every 30 days, every 35 days she has a Riyaz Dam at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Clockwork. Every 35 days, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So Samach Levesta means a half an hour before 4 o'clock. The Samach always means that's already a din d'oraisa. When the Chachamim said, Samach l'mincha ktana, Samach l'mincha gedayla, Samach, they're a dinim, so Samach means half an hour before, that was patterned after the din d'oraisa, that whenever there's a din d'oraisa of Samach, means half an hour before. So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. Mosifa mechoy lala kodesh means Samach l'knisas hayom, you should be mekabu kdushas hayom. What say Samach l'knisas hayom? Half an hour before. So the Mela doesn't necessarily have to be you don't have to balance it. It doesn't mean that I'm a Tzoy Yom Kippur. It doesn't mean you have to be Moshe Mechol HaKadosh half an hour. Once it's Seisa Kacham, so you add on 2 minutes. There's Masif Mechol Ala Kodesh. There's no din of Samach over there. Samach is about an Erev. An Erev Shabbos, an Erev Yontov. It doesn't have to be symmetrical. There's no one is saying that just because you need to be Masif Mechol Ala Kodesh half an hour before, you have to be Masif half an hour later. Faket, it says in Shulchan Aruch, how long should you wait for Tosefa Shabbos Lachreha? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should, when you see Gimel Kachavim Beinanim in the sky, that's Seisa Kachavim. If you see Gimel Kachavim Beinanim Ritzufim, if you see Gimel Kachavim Beinanim anywhere, if you see Ritzufim, that's going to take longer, that the three stars should be near each other. Or if you see Gimel Kachavim Ktanim, it takes longer to see Gimel Kachavim Ktanim. The Kachavim Gedolim you can see even before. Kachavim Beinanim, you see Gimel Kachavim Beinanim at Seisa Kachavim. If you're going to wait till Gimel Kachavim Kitanim, or Gimel Kachavim Beinanim Ritzufim, the Dosa Ginuk, that's not a half an hour. It's another 3 minutes, another 5 minutes. But this whole vort of a half an hour, that's only on Erev Yom
Shabbos. How come Shabbos we don't most of half hour, eh?
Shkia is Lamala Lamar. No, we have a period of time that the Safik and Safik Laila. So if you want to be Maisif Mechayel Ala Kodesh before, so a group of Rishonim say means a half an hour summer. So you should be Maisif Mechayel Ala Kodesh a half an hour before the Shkia. And then after should be a half an hour after, if you want to be symmetrical, so one might argue the point you need to be Maisif a half an hour after Safik Kachavim. So the Pashto says that's not correct. A half an hour is because of the Svar of Samach. The Samach only makes sense in advance of Yom Kippur. It doesn't make sense after Shabbos is over, after Yom Kippur is over.
But if you don't do a half hour Shabbos before sunset, you only do 20 minutes
or less.
20 minutes.
People do less. People daven mincha, right. They just make it by the skin of their teeth. They daven mincha.
Yeah.
So they're not so makbid on Shabbos. But on Yom Kippur, the Chara one should be more careful because the Rambam only quotes the Din of Tosefta only by Yom Kippur. He doesn't quote it by Shabbos and Yom Tov at all. Only by Yom Kippur. And by Shemitah he quotes. Shemitah is separate and Yom Kippur is separate. The Rambam holds like this drasha, Minisim es nafshasech metishal ha-chaydish bo erev, means late in the afternoon. And he holds that it does not extend to every other Shabbos and Yom Kippur. It only applies on Yom Kippur. That's why there are some who are more medactic when it comes to Tosefes on Yom Kippur than all year long. The other Tanoim, the Gemara says here in Pei Aleph Amez, the other Tanoim disagree. They say that this Pasuk is not the marker for Tosefes Yom Kippur. The marker for Tosefes is the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai by Shemitah. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Vesa Netiyas. It has the rule, with the exception to the, has the rule of Tosefes Shviyas, with the exception to the rule that by the 10 young saplings, there's a heter in the halacha Moshe Mitzvah. We cannot alumid from Tosefes Shviyas. You learn to Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov Yom Kippur, which has a Mohammed Kedusha Zman. Then Shemitah has a lower level of Kedusha Zman. You extend it. Yeah, that's the Shiloh. Do you have the right to extend the halacha Moshe Mitzvah? Prima Gordon talks about that. Here, the Gemara says here in Yuma that you have the Gemara by the Sugya Pikoch Nefesh. How do you know Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kola Terkula? The Gemara has one Tana, there's a whole Machlekes, how do you know? So one Tana throws in this notion, the Gemara quotes it, you have no right to extend the Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Halacha L'Moshe Misina is not subject to the Nidash HaTorah Nedreshes them. It's only over here. Whatever is learned out from Chumash, whatever says in Chumash, or derived from the Pesukim of Chumash, that's governed with the rule, Yalam Midova Midova, Kala Tarkud and Yenechad, everything has to fit in. But Allah Moshe Mitzinai is only over there and doesn't extend anywhere else. There's that Gemara here. So on Tevoga Miralas, I think the Gemara is. No, it's before that. Here. If it's Allah Moshe Mitzinai, it can't be extended. That's on Tehei on the days. The Gemara has like that. So that's a discussion the Prima Gordon has. How did the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah Daftez have the ability to extend from Shemitah to Kol HaTorah Kula? If he says it's only Halacha L'Moshe Misina b'Shemitah, it can't be extended. And somehow he answers that kashi, because the Gemara does extend. He works on that kashi. So here the Gemara says it's a machloikis. Other Tanoim learn Tosefes Yom HaKippurim from Tosefes Shviyas. And there is no special din of Yom Kippur. not like the Rambam. The Rambam passed a special din by Yom Kippur. The other Rishonim hold not so, like the other Tanaim is not. What does this pasuk mean? Inishmas nashasech mitisha lachodesh bo erev. So the Gemara says the pasuk really means you should fast on Leil Yom Kippur. Why such an awkward way? Inishmas nashasech mitisha lachodesh sounds like you begin to fast on the 9th. The Gemara says no. What it means is that it's a remez that there's a special inyan to eat a suda on erev Yom Kippur. Kalaychol v'shoyis a bit shi. So the Gemara suggests that that's a din derais. The Rambam quotes, that's a din derais. One is obligated to eat. You always eat. You always eat a meal. It means you have to eat a little more elaborate meal. And Erev Yom Kippur, so it makes the fasting a little more difficult. Because when you go from a full meal to nothing, so you're going to be more hungry. So that's also quoted Lalach. We assume they're both correct. We assume there is a din of Tosefes, Yom Kippurim, that's a din deraisa. We assume that there's a chiv suda on Erev Yom Kippur as well. And on Pei Aleph, the Gemara was discussing the din that one who eats or drinks b'shoigig on Yom Kippur is chayv chatos, but if one violates the other inuyim, not chayv chatos, because there's no chorus on v'sich, on v'chitza, on sicha, on yilhusana, tashamita, there's no chorus on that. So the Gemara has to establish some psukim. How do you know all these things? How do you know that there's chorus on achila shtir? So the Gemara establishes some psukim. Then the Gemara says, maybe there's only chorus if you eat bayom. How do you know if you eat leil yom kippur? The Gemara needs a pasuk for that too. Then the Gemara says, you do malocha on yom kippur, you chayv chorus. Maybe it's only if you did malocha bayom. How do you know even if you did malocha balayla? So the Gemara needs 4 psukim. The Gemara has 5. It says chorus 5 times. The Gemara says, Chamisha Kroi Ksivi, here. It's 5 lines from the bottom of Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, and the back has a little letter Gimel in parentheses. So the Gemara says, Chamisha Kroi Ksivi, Bimalach. It says 5 times Kori. If I say 5 times Kori on Yom Kippur, so one Kori goes on Malacha Bayom, one is Malacha Balayla, one is Achidah Shtir Bayom, one is Achidah Shtir Balayla, and the 5th Kori goes on something else. So the test is Yishanim on the bottom of the page, raises an issue, what's going on over here? You need, and every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you need a separate part of Bayom or Balayla. Everything has 2 parts, maybe. Lo yadayin edina b'chol duchta, oynish dimam, oynish delel, every part. He's not sure. It's a chidish in the Gemara that the dinim that are noig Bayom and the dinim that are noig Balayla are 2 units. We treat it as separate units. Rav Yosef Engel has Azar Yerushalmi, when we learned Masech Shabbos many years ago, we learned paragraph Lezer de Mila. So there is a machlekes satanayim. If you have a mila bismano, it's zecher Shabbos. If it's a mila shlo bismano, you're not permitted to do the bris on Shabbos because it's a malacha. So when you have a mila bismano, exactly what do you permit on Shabbos? So we paskin only the actual mila itself. If the mohel forgot to carry the knife, or forgot to prepare a bandage or something else, the machshir mila not zecher Shabbos. Not let a manufacturer a knife on Shabbos. And Rav Blazer is of the opinion that it's permissible to be Mechal Shabbos even for the Hachonis, even for the Machshirei Milo. And the Gemara says in the first Daf and Rav Blazer in the Milo, Daf Kuflam and the Manalef, the Mekomosh of Rav Blazer in his village in Eretz Yisrael, even years after he passed away, they used to, every time there was a Bila, the Shabbos, they would go out of their way and do Chilul Shabbos to demonstrate how Chaviv the Mitzvah is, that you committed even to be Mechal Shabbos to do the Machshirei Milo. So then the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos, Rav Blazer's opinion that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the Hachonis, for the Bris Milah, is not only a din of Bris Milah, it's a din, let's say, Lulav and Shofar, let's say, first day Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, and then on Torah you have to blow Shofar, and he doesn't have a Shofar, so he's allowed to shech the behemoth and take the horn and carve it out, and makav patish and shchita, and all the malachas, whatever is necessary. But the first day Sukkot, Bisman is that we're not allowed to blow Shofar, and not allowed to shake a Lulav on the first day. But before they made the Gzeira the Rabbanu, let's say the first day Sukkot, he has to shake a lulav with an esrog he doesn't have. So he's allowed to go to the tree and cut off the lulav and the esrog in order to be able to shake it. Even though it's mamish and malacha derayis have coats there, so it's necessary for the purpose of the mitzvah, so you're allowed to do it. So he says the same is true, all mitzvahs, the hachana to the mitzvah, a few exceptions to the lulav, basically all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, even let's say to do a malacha, you have to bring korbanos minimum of on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there are malachas involved. You do the shchita and the haktare and the havara, all kinds of malachas. What if he had to do a malach in order to get the behemoth? Yeah, to bring the behemoth to the Beit Hamikdash. So he says everything goes. The Yishami has a kler. What about Leil Shabbos? Let's say the behemoth has a mum.
Nice.
Behemoth has a mum, and he's going to do surgery. He's going to make it oisbal mum. This is the only behemoth.